You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week, for my regular interview with Te Pāti Māori co-leader Debbie Nāruapaka, we covered a few different issues. Firstly, the Māori Party has requested that a joint task force against anti-Māori white supremacist violence should be created. This followed threats made towards Debbie herself, tangata whenua, and 150 marae. When I spoke to Debbie 2 weeks ago, the police commissioner hadn't shown up to a meeting planned with the Māori Party on this issue and had not rescheduled. Now a meeting has been set up with the police commissioner, Andrew Costa, and the Minister for Police, Porter Williams, this Thursday. I caught up with Debbie for an update on this issue. Secondly, we discussed the Māori Party receiving the Dawn Raids petition from Benji Timu and Josiah Tuala-Mali'i on the steps of Parliament. We discuss the significance of Te Pāti Māori accepting this petition from Tangata Moana and the postponement of the official state apology that was set to be last weekend, and then the proposed parliamentary debate on the 1970s raids. Finally, we touch on the recent report that there has been a significant drop in the number of prisoners having access to alcohol and drug programs in New Zealand prisons. I began by asking Debbie to give us an update on her party's request for a task force to monitor anti-Māori violence.
Well, I can give you an update that we finally have a date. We were going to meet with the Chief Commissioner and the Minister of Police this Thursday. So since our last week, we actually hadn't met. And we've only just had it confirmed in the last couple of days. So. And again, our request is that we put on the radar the anti-Māori. In fact, you know, the way that hate and racist hate has been inciting all sorts of attacks and violent threats. So our aim is to really have this as a specific target that we are able to say, right, NZSSIS have told us that white superiority and supremacy is growing. In fact, it makes up 50% of the terrorist attacks and threats in Aotearoa. We then want to be able to know how we're monitoring and targeting that and what particular resource and energy is put into that so that we are ahead of it before things get serious and before things explode. So, we'll hopefully know more about that after Thursday's meeting, but so far there hasn't been any response.
So I know we chatted about this a little bit the last time we talked on this, but it's been some time since this request for a meeting has been made, and, you know, it's been organised for this week. But what has this sort of wait time been feeling like for you?
Yeah, I've got to say, well, I know I spoke to a group of rangatahi in the weekend, and they were really shocked. One of them said to me, "Fire, it's been 6 weeks or over 6 weeks." And I sat there and thought, you know, there's actually no excuse for this. And two things it did to that forum. I know how I personally feel. I feel as though my concerns are unvalidated. I feel as though the threats and the fear of marae or anyone being threatened so graphically and has not been validated. But certainly the form of the rangatahi I was at were really horrified and genuinely concerned that we are in an environment where the officials, police, NZSIS haven't appear not to have taken it seriously enough to even bother organising a time to respond, organising a response. Contemplating and seeking other views, maybe. Maybe if they don't support our experience of it, they'll go and seek other experience. But, you know, we've spoken to multiple Māori platforms, networks, and they haven't. So if I can repeat the sentiments of this, an influential rangatahi group, and they're influential to me because they are young and smart, is that it feels like fire, that we don't matter. And I think that's still a view that we feel 6 weeks later.
How would you feel if the response to that from the police and NZSIS would be, Oh, it's just because we've got too much on the bill and we're just waiting because we've got so many other things going on. How would you feel about that sort of being the response? Because has there been even a response to your concerns like that, as though feeling like you don't matter? That's a huge concern in itself as well.
I think that's where we sit, is that that's exactly what it is that they're saying. Silence is that we're too busy to get back to you. If I was in their boat and we couldn't physically get together, I would have at least sent an email acknowledging the concern. I would organise a Zoom to assure we take this really seriously and we're looking into it. Look, I'm really busy. We've got a whole lot of other things going on. But it takes like 5 minutes to send an email. It's 2021. So I think, the fact that there has been an apathetic response actually validates the fact that we feel unvalidated and that things are trivialised because it's a tangata whenua, it's a minority kaupapa. And why do we have to wait for deaths and horrific atrocities to happen before there's a reaction?
Right, let's move on now to speak a little bit about the Dawn Raids petition. Last week you received the Dawn Raids petition on the steps of Parliament, and this happened just as the official state apology for the raids was postponed due to Wellington being in a level two. Firstly, let's talk about the petition. Why is it so significant for the Māori Party to receive a petition like this, and what is the significance of the petition itself?
Yeah, look, the first thing is it was an absolute honour. I just cannot say enough what a privilege it was as tangata whenua to receive in tautoko our tangata moana whānau. Also, as mana whenua, I'm from Taranaki and was on the whenua that was receiving it. So I felt an absolute obligation as we are to Manaaki and recognise the mana of whānau who have been atrociously treated. And I think at the time I related to how we felt as pariaka. So from one group of people to another who have felt what it's like to be uprooted and profiled and completely displaced because of who you are, it was really important to be there. But also, I think anyone that knows me is that, to actually have it as the young activists who have taken up the mantle from our young Polynesian Panthers was just the biggest honour ever. But we've all got this legacy of things that are so wrong that we have the opportunity to discuss and acknowledge.
So the petition, it calls for more than an apology. It calls for further education on the raids, also the debate to go ahead in Parliament regarding the issue. Let's just start with the apology, and obviously it has been postponed and it hasn't, from my understanding as well, I don't know whether another date has been set for when that apology will take place. But what were your thoughts on the postponement or even having an official apology, state apology? Is that the right way to start?
Well, I guess it makes sense that those who enacted the wrong apologise. I know it's the 50th anniversary, but, I come from an iwi in Taranaki, that multiple iwi in Taranaki that have had apologies from the Crown and, for confiscating everything, our land, our ability to farm, to feed our whānau, to be able to have our reo. But what's really important after that apology is it still was just as hard, it's like trekking through mud, to actually get our whenua to fight against all the minerals, to fight against the pollution of our waters, to fight for resourcing of our reo that was lost, so to fight for equity and well-being. So I think it has to follow through with however, our tangata moana and our Pacifica whānau have agreed to receive the apology is between them and the Crown. However, I think it's incumbent on us all to make sure that the Crown follows through with tautoko as is requested in the petition and as is most importantly desired by our rangatahi. Because in our whānau, my grandparents wouldn't talk about the confiscation period, the things that went on at Parihaka, because
they were things that you actually were so traumatic you didn't want to, you didn't want your grandchildren to feel. You didn't want them to feel what it's like to have queer that were raped, children that were molested, men that were murdered for defending their whenua. You wanted them to grow up light. And so I think it's really important that the rangatahi of our tangata moana are saying, we want this, we want to talk about it now. And sometimes it takes a couple of generations for trauma to be able to be talked about.
Now, just talking a little bit about the debate that will go ahead, can you potentially tell us anything we can expect from the Māori Party's position perhaps in the debate and what might go down?
Yeah, sure. I mean, what you probably will hear is a lot of what I've just said to you now is relating to how it feels to be profiled and displaced, and acknowledging the resilience and the absolute aroha of our tangata moana to still be here and be working alongside us all in Aotearoa for a united, better future. And you will hear acknowledgement of and empathy for the Crown's role in doing those things, and most importantly, emphasis to the Crown and being able to lift the heaviness of that trauma and to work together. And we all must work together for a better future, and that includes stopping, you know, racism, stopping negative attitudes that help us being, you know, being better people, better peoples together. So there'll be a lot of that, but also probably most importantly will be acknowledgement of the you know, the visionary leadership that our Polynesian Panthers of old and our most exciting, our newer and younger generation.
Just finally, let's just talk a little bit about the fact that there has been a big drop reported in the number of incarcerated people getting access to alcohol and drug rehabilitation programs. Māori Party co-leader Rāwiri Waititi has said he's concerned about Māori prisoners being left off worse. Could you speak a little bit more to that?
Yeah, sure. Look, I think the bizarre aspect is that there's been more funding going into corrections. There's been more discussions about working with iwi and working with whānau to do programs. And if they're being cut because they're not working, and I'm not quite sure how they're qualifying that, then they need to be showing investing in being able to redirect that into something that is continually, you know, addressing the long-term intensive programs that will work, because it worries us that if you're not getting these programs, sometimes it can affect your ability to be granted early parole. And if you don't have access to any short-term programs, then I think the absence of knowing what the overall program is, and what I do know is that I have seen really, really proactive iwi who've got really good reform programs, but they're not given the opportunity to work necessarily with Department of Corrections as well. So I think the work in this space is overall too slow on the corrections side. And it's been about 3 years since they've dropped the program, and they've got no replacement. And if we've taken on board that inmates are going to come and go and they're going to fall through the cracks, then, you know, what is our approach to rehabilitation and to rebuilding traumatised whānau and helping people to be able to be their best self?
That was Debbie Nariwapaka, co-leader of the Māori Party, speaking on the progress of the party's call for an anti-Māori violence task force, the Dawn Raids petition, and the number of prisoners no longer having access to alcohol and drug programs in New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.